We next move on to section M of the P11D, which is under heading of other items. Section M is the only dual choice section where you have to decide whether or not there's a Class 1A National Insurance Contributions liability and whether the item should be included in the brown box, which is for Class 1A, or whether to include it under the blue box entry. I've mentioned previously that the HMRC booklet CWG5 is useful, your Appendix 1, where you have a list of various benefits and you can look down there and it'll tell you where it should go in the P11D and whether it's a brown box or a blue box. Section M is effectively one of the catch-all sections of the P11D, sweeping up the entries that do not automatically fit elsewhere. It is impossible to give an exhaustive list, but the main items that you are likely to encounter we shall discuss, and we'll start with subscriptions and professional fees, where we are required to report the cost to the employer of any subscriptions paid by the employer as the cash equivalent of the benefit. If the subscriptions or fees are job-related, and if they're included in the HMRC published list 3, they will not be taxable and they should be included in a P11D dispensation. If there isn't a dispensation, they will still need to be reported and the employee will then have to claim a deduction for the cost. However, where you have leisure club, golf or gym subscriptions, these will be taxable and should be reported here. Other items require a description: the gross cost, the amount made good and the net cash equivalent. The provision of a nursery at the workplace or a premises financed and run by the employer may be totally exempt. In other circumstances, the cost met by the employer will be taxable and should be reported here, apportioned as necessary between the directors and employees enjoying the benefit. Any amount made good by the directors and employees should be deducted from the cost in the normal way to arrive at the net cash equivalent. You may also have to report educational assistance where the cash equivalent would be the value of any scholarship awarded by reason of the parent's employment. Also, you could report here the cost of any school fees or other educational assistance relating to a director or employee. If the contract was between the employer and the school, the entry should be in the brown box, but if the employer is merely paying on behalf of the director or employee, it's a blue box entry. We come back to the Class 1 NIC problem. There should be no taxable or reportable benefit in respect of genuine job-related training, excluding recreational training provided by the employer or a third party. Also within year, non-qualifying relocation benefits would be reported on the basis of the cost to the employer or any third party. We also have to report here any loans written off or waived, reporting the amount of the loan written off or waived unless it was written off by virtue of the death of the employee. Income tax paid but not deducted from director's remuneration should be reported here. So any amount of income tax paid to HMRC in 2007-08 that the employer failed to deduct from remuneration paid to a director, irrespective of the year in which the remuneration was paid. You can ignore income tax on notional payments, which go in Section B, and this box is normally about a charge to income tax borne by the company, such as when HMRC issues a Regulation 80 determination. The final section on the P11D is Section N, which covers expenses payments made to or on behalf of the employee. This section covers expense payments and highlights the need to report expenses made to and those paid on behalf of the employee. My view is that most employers should have or should be able to obtain a P11D dispensation to cover the majority of business expenditure included under this heading. Travel and subsistence payments not included in general expenses allowance have to be reported here if they're not covered by a dispensation. This will include any travel between home and a permanent workplace for UK employments and employments performed wholly outside the UK. Expenses to report will include fares, hotels, meals, etc. And HMRC's booklet 490, Employee Travel, a Tax and NIC Guide for Employers, will offer you some guidance on what expenses can be claimed. The next section within Section N is Entertainment. And the first obligation is to identify whether or not the employing company is a trading organisation. This will normally confirm that the cost of business entertaining has been disallowed in the company accounts, and excluding reciprocal or social entertaining will enable the employee to obtain a personal tax deduction. HMSE officers will compare the tax computations with information reported on P11Ds and are likely to investigate any apparent discrepancies. Employees of non-trading organisations may be asked to prove that the expense was incurred wholly, exclusively and necessarily in the performance of their duties in order to avoid a tax charge. The P11D does not separately identify business and staff entertaining or working lunches at the permanent workplace, which are normally treated as a taxable benefit. Lunches provided as part of job-related training should not be treated as giving rise to a taxable benefit. Where employees have lunch when working away at a temporary workplace, the cost should be treated as allowable travel and subsistence. Staff entertaining is one of the most popular issues to give rise to a settlement with HMRC, although many employers now deal with this expenditure through a PAYE settlement agreement. The cost of food and drink taken out on near the normal place of work, including food for staff working late, meals and drinks when discussing business outside of the office, and food and drink at team meetings, will generally be taxable staff entertaining. This is one area where the problem is often one of identification, because inadequate records are kept to prove that the expenditure was on visitors who qualify for subsistence treatment, or customers where the cost perhaps should have been disallowed and then not taxed as a benefit. There's provision here to report general expenses for business travel. You have to report the amount of any round sum allowance, not exclusively for entertaining, reporting at box 16. And where they've been taxed with a payroll, the cash equivalent is reduced to nil. If the allowances can be shown to cover genuine business expenditure and that there's no profit element, the PAYE and tax office should be asked to issue a dispensation to cover the agreed amounts. Payments for use of home telephone, I want to consider next. We have to report any expenses incurred in connection with the provision of a telephone at the home of the director or employee. The payment of any part of the employee's personal rental costs will be taxable and liable to Class 1 NIC. The cost of identifiable business calls will be tax deductible. Here we'd want to consider whether there's a separate business line at the employee's home. And again, Appendix 1 of the CWG5 booklet gives you some guidance as to where to put it on the P11D and what the tax treatment should be. Incidental overnight expenses. Report the full cost of any personal incidental overnight expenses if any director or employee incurs expenditure in excess of the allowable limits. The allowable limits are £5 per night in the UK or £10 per night outside the UK. If the costs are kept within these limits, there is nothing to report. But if the limits are exceeded, the full cost must be reported, not just the excess. You can also include in this section of the P11D expenses incurred in or in connection with the provision for the director or employee of any benefits or facilities of whatsoever nature not returned under any previous heading.